Good morning.
Maybe. Hey, there we go. His steadfast love endures forever. I think this morning we've seen just a glimpse, actually a big vision of what God's steadfast love looks like. As Teresa was telling her story and sharing about the path that she's been on, she was sharing the story of God's steadfast love. The verse that Michael read just a moment ago recounts all of history up to that point as a sign of God's steadfast love. And the way that Israel tended to look at history was that whatever had happened to the community in the past was the personal story of the individual who was reciting that history. I'm getting a sign. What's that? Oh, the kids need to go to class. I'm horrible partner at charades. I apologize. Kids are dismissed to class. So the deal is, if you were reciting the history of Israel, you were including yourself as the beneficiary of God's steadfast love. It's a beautiful way that they worked. And it actually, in some ways, began with Moses. Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, he's told by God to tell the Israelite people to go into the land of Canaan. And as I've said before, God also tells him, and then you're going to go up in the mountain and die. But before you do, here's what I want you to do. Israel is going to fall back into bad habits over and over and over again. And they need some way to remind them in their lowest moments of who they really are. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses spends an entire chapter singing a song to the Israelite people about the history that they have with God, recounting the good things he's done for them, recounting the ways in which he has carried them and delivered them out of bondage. And this becomes a tradition within the Israelite people, to look back on history and say, look what God has done, not for our forefathers, not for people long ago, but for us. And we talked this morning a little bit about the Passover meal and how everyone would share in the Passover meal. This was an opportunity for them to recount that God had taken Israel out of bondage into freedom, as Jason was sharing just a moment ago. This is their story. This is who they are. And they're thankful for it, for something that happened hundreds, thousands of years before they were alive at the time of Christ. They gave thanks. They recognized God's steadfast love for his people. This is a tradition we should be better about showing in ourselves. See, sometimes I think about my own life, and I'll tell you what my day usually looks like. I'll see someone, and you know, hey, how you doing? I'm doing all right. I'm a little bit tired. I didn't sleep very well last night. You know, I want to complain about like an ache or a pain I've got. I'm going to tell you a little bit about you know, how I didn't get my cup of coffee just right. We find a lot of reasons to grumble, just little things, not big things most of the time, but little things. And it kind of becomes a competition. How much little grumbling can I do to you to maybe just one-up you on the little bit of grumbling I have to do? You know, someone will talk about how tired they are, and we have to find a way to be just a little bit more tired than they are. That's kind of our culture nowadays. We don't necessarily spend a lot of time sharing our thankfulness, sharing the thanksgiving that we have, even the small little day-to-day sort of things. And so as I was thinking about the history that Israel has with recounting the good work that God had done for the entire nation, I thought about this passage that Michael just read to us, and it walks through not just the ancient history of Israel, but the recent history as of the writing of that passage. It talks about the conquest of Canaan. It talks about God really giving them this land and making it very clear that you are my people and this is your land. They'd struggled for hundreds of years to reach the point where they were completely the conquerors of this land. And this particular psalm is written in such a way to say, we now have the land. There's no dispute about it. This is our place. And they celebrate what's just happened, and they celebrate what happened in the recent history, and they celebrate what happened in their ancient history, and they go all the way back to creation. That they're thankful, not just for the things that God had done for Israel specifically, but that God had created the world, the moon and the stars and the sun. And all of this was a reason for gratitude, because all of it was a sign of God's steadfast love that endures forever. As I've been thinking more and more about the idea of Thanksgiving, I thought about what we as a congregation have to be thankful for. And I think that we could lay out a list that is miles long and not exhaust all the reason we have to be thankful. I had put a challenge out for some folks to send some videos to me or come and let me record them sharing some of their thankfulness. I also received a couple of notes that I'm going to read with you this morning, but these are just small things, glimpses of some of the good that God is doing in our church, in our community. This is an opportunity for us to maybe begin changing the way that we talk about what God is doing in us and stop thinking about the little tiny grumbles we might have here and there and begin to celebrate the good news of what God is doing in our lives. And what better way to do that than to start this morning with a baptism that we get to celebrate the good news in the life of Teresa. Isn't that fantastic? This morning we have witnessed God's everlasting, steadfast, enduring forever love in the life of a new member of his church. And that, if nothing else, is worth celebrating. I want to go ahead and I'm going to share with you just a little bit from Psalm 118. So I want to show you that this passage we had up here just a moment ago is not unique in Scripture, including the Moses passage where he recounts all of history. We also have this passage in Psalm 118 that echoes or foreshadows, because it comes before in the book of Psalms, the passage we just read. Here in verse 1 through 4, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever." Breaks it up into three different groups of people. So the previous one, you have ancient history, recent history, current history. Here you have different groups of people. Let all of Israel, our whole nation, say, the steadfast love of God endures forever. Let the priests say it. And then beyond that, even if you're not a part of Israel, but you fear God, you love God, and you have such a healthy respect for him, say his steadfast love endures forever. This is not just a proclamation for the Israelite people. It's for all those who believe in God. And so this morning, up here on the screen, you're going to see a short video, and then I'm going to read you the notes. It's about 3 minutes long. It's mostly ladies that responded to the request for things to be thankful for. So maybe men, we should be thinking about what that means for us and the way that we think about our lives. Zach is actually the exception to that. So when you see him, congratulate him for being thankful. Watch the video, and then we'll talk.
I'm thankful that God gave me my chickens because I get to talk to them about my feelings. And they're cute, too.
The one requirement is we give the glory to God, which is first and foremost. I just want to thank the Church of Christ. I've been a member now here for 4 years. And without the support of certain people, and they know who they are, that has helped me along the way, I've overcome quite a bit in my life. And I'm working on one right now, which, by the help of these certain people, know who they are. And it takes all of us to work together to reach out and listen. So I'm real grateful. I have a grateful heart. My spirit's good. And I needed to share this with the congregation. I know many people here, and I enjoy the life group that I attend with Dania and Bill Killen. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the people that are in my life and the ones to come in the future.
Thankful to God
for my mom, because without her, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I love, like coding and messing around on my Raspberry Pi. I'm also thankful for my mom because she always has been by my side, like during all my projects. She helped me fix up my workshop. Like I said before, she's helped me do the things that I love, and she's very kind. She helps me with my school, and if I didn't have her around to help me with my school, I'd probably be failing.
I've been seeing God's loving kindness. I was diagnosed with an aggressive form of leukemia last September. Our church family has been faithful in praying for me, and some of you tell me you pray every day. It has also been a huge blessing to receive cards, emails, phone calls, and text messages. There are many of us in this congregation who have been blindsided by a cancer diagnosis in the last year, and there are some who have been living with a cancer diagnosis for a long time. I think particularly of Bonnie Fritz, whom I call the Energizer Bunny. She just keeps going and going and smiling all the way. Thanks, Bonnie, for your good example. I suppose that all of us with diseases that will not be cured think about end-of-life things. In our family, we call them the hard things or the hard conversations. I'm grateful for friends and family who allow me to voice some of these thoughts. These conversations are not easy, but in the long run, they comfort me.
The four individuals that shared videos, and then I want to read you just a couple of notes here. Bonnie actually sent me a note of her own. She says, I've seen God's loving kindness through acts of kindness to others, specifically, she says, to me. I appreciate the Baker family for their hugs, for building me a large raised garden bed since I could enjoy gardening and have some fresh produce. They are always willing to help others. Jim Miller and Corey Craig took time to remove my window air conditioner, and John Germain replaced the hole with a new window. It's a blessing to have such caring people in our church family. Also seeing those who serve in the ministries we do for Love, Inc. And so Bonnie is thankful for the good works that people in our congregation are doing. She's thankful for the ways in which we serve one another and the ways that we serve our community. And then I have here a note from Glessie. And I want to read this to you. At my age, 90 years, just getting up in the morning with no pain, just a few aches from these old bones, is a blessing. I thank the good Lord every day. Second, hearing from family and friends is A-OK. So very blessed. And third, to be able to live in this beautiful country, especially Oregon, so very blessed. A very wonderful church family, the bonus. A very wonderful church family, so very blessed. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then there at the bottom, there is no way I could list all my blessings. They are without number. I'm so very blessed. Thank you for giving us the privilege of sharing. In Christian love, Glessie. I think she ends it well. There is no way we could count the blessings that God has given to us. There is no way that we could number the things that he's done for us. We could recount all of history and get into the nitty-gritty details and still have insufficiently covered just how great the love of God is. I find it humbling, personally. I find it challenging because if that's really the truth about God, why do I struggle with thankfulness in my own heart sometimes? Why am I so focused often on the little grumbles and not the big, beautiful picture of what God has done in my life? And so I want to encourage you, if you are like me, in that you are often focused on the little nitpicky things, you know, the ache or pain that you have in your foot, or you're focused on, you know, the troubles of tomorrow, I want to invite you into this practice of the Israelites that we are encouraged to follow in and practice giving thanks. if you wonder whether or not this steadfast love that God offers in the Old Testament is exclusive to them, I want to read to you from the Message. This is not a translation I typically just throw up on the screen, but I want to share this with you because I really like how specific it gets here. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are. Children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him. And in seeing him, become like him. All of us who look forward to his coming, stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own. The beauty of the gospel and the things that we have to be thankful for and to look forward to is that we still don't even know fully what we're thankful for. We know the good things that God has done. We know the good things that God is doing, but we can't even imagine the good things that God will do in the future, the ways in which he will change us and make us more than we were yesterday, more than we are today. That's the good news for you and I. That's something worth being thankful for. This morning we've heard from a few different members of our congregation. We've heard from our newest member of our congregation, from the newest member of the Lord's body. Maybe there was another baptism somewhere shortly between. But this moment, today, we have heard good news, things to be thankful for. And I want to encourage you, as you go about this week, you're going to have opportunities to recognize things you're thankful for. And then at the end of November, you might kind of stop. You might fall into this tendency to think that thankfulness is something that we limit to 1 month or maybe 1 week or maybe one day a year. When Israel forgets what it is that they're called to and what they're called to be, it's because they've forgotten to be thankful. Which is why God tells Moses, give the people this song, so that when they find themselves at their lowest point, they will come back to me, having recounted the ways that I have loved and blessed them. The problem is, we shouldn't have to come back. We should always be in a state of thanksgiving, because we are children of God. I want to pray with you this morning, and then I want to offer a very short invitation. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for your Son. We are thankful for how he changes our relationship with one another and how he changes our relationship with you. That before, we were enemies of you. We had placed ourselves in opposition to you. We had chosen to live our lives defiantly against your word, and we reaped the consequences of that. We struggled, we suffered, we found ourselves in places that we did not want to be. But you, God, loved us enough. You loved us so steadfastly that from the beginning of time you have worked through history, through your plan to offer us salvation and citizenship in your kingdom. But not just citizenship, Father. You have offered us sonship, daughtership. You have made us your children. And as we go about life, as we go about our day, as we experience the highs and lows of life, let us never forget the thing that we are most thankful for, which is this new life, this new heritage that you have placed in our hearts. And when we look around and we see things that are distressing to us, things that we struggle with, the hurt that happens in the world around us, let us even more loudly proclaim our thankfulness, our thanksgiving, our joy at the good news that you are alive, that you are at work in our hearts and that you are at work in your church. And help us to be the ones that carry out that work in our community. Help us to be the ones who share that good news with those who do not know it already. Father, thank you for Jesus and his blood. Thank you for his death, his resurrection, and his eternal enthronement. Help us to be more like him each day. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you have need of the church this morning, if there are ways in which we can bless you, if we can celebrate the things you're thankful for or pray for the things you are struggling with, if you, like Teresa, want to put Christ on in baptism this morning, I don't think we drained the baptistry. It's still there. You wouldn't be holding us up at all. In fact, you'd give us more reason to be thankful. If you have any need of the church this morning, you can find one of our elders. You can see Kyle or I. You can come up front. You can talk to the person sitting in the pew next to you, and we will make sure that whatever it is you need, you receive this morning. That's our invitation to you, Kyle.